The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
And welcome once again to another episode of the Disciplined Investor. This is Andrew Horowitz, and I'm your host, and thanks for joining me today. And today we're going to be talking about a few things that I think are really important for you right now because, you know, we're in the midst of tax season. We're in that dreaded time when we have to be preparing for things. And in our last discussion, we talked about some ways to get you organized. Well, today we're going to talk about some ways to save you some money because obviously in the end, it's all about the money you net, not the gross that makes money for you. We're also going to be talking about some things concerning the current media. You know, there's still this whole idea that the media is the place to go to find information, and I have some concern. We're going to go back to 2000. I'm going to play you some information that I heard firsthand, and I retained this tape for all these years on a conference that I was at with Jim Cramer and some of the things that he mentioned during that time period. And finally, some of the other things we're going to be talking about, I think you'll find of great use in the upcoming weeks in terms of the markets. So let's just jump right into the tax items that really I think that will really be kind of interesting for most of you and hopefully helpful. And by the way, important to note, anything that we talk about today in terms of the taxes, we're going to link back on the site at www.thedisciplinedinvestor.com/blog. And on there, we're going to have all of the links in terms of all the things we've talked about and give you the information that you need to utilize in order to get the various forms, et cetera. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is, you know, the IRS amazingly has, as they say, over $2.2 billion for people who have not filed a 2003 tax return. Now, probably most of us out there have done so, but it seems as if there is about 1.6 million people who have not filed a federal tax return for 2003. And the carrot is now being dangled in front of you that if you haven't done so, two things are going to happen. Number one, you're not going to get your money if you have a refund coming to you. In addition to that, since the 3 years is about to pass on the time period when you are required to actually file a tax return, you're going to miss out on that tax return forever. They're estimating about $611 are available for each person who has not actually claimed their refund from 2003. And what they're saying is that if you want to get it, now is the time to do it. Most people that didn't file are still eligible for the earned income tax credit that was enacted back then. And if you do so, you can get your money. If not, it will be lost forever. The second item from the IRS is the whole idea of Free File. And the Free File program is a federal tax preparation program which will allow for certain taxpayers to file a tax return with one of their alliance partners, the Free Alliance, the File Free Alliance. And you'll be able to actually work with them to file a tax return that won't cost you anything. Now, there are some things here that you have to know. Number one, that it's only for people who have an adjusted gross income of less than $52,000 for 2006. And also, you know, the good news is that if you do so, these people are experts and they're really cooperating and approved by the IRS. It's called a Free File program. So if you don't know where to turn and you're doing it yourself or you just decide you're not going to do it because it's too complicated, here's an option for you. You can actually go with the Free File program through the IRS. And finally, I think something that we all need to know is the new telephone excise tax return. This is a tax refund that will be allowed to be utilized by individuals and businesses on a one-time basis that's going to be available for 2006. And what it's designed to do is to give a credit for long-distance telephone taxes that were paid by individuals and businesses over the number of years before. Now, individuals, you have a choice. You can get a standard refund of about $30 to $60 depending on your total situation when it came to the bills that you have and the exemptions that you claimed on your 2006 tax return. What I've seen is about $30 that most people will get. Now, you can either do this by taking the standard amount and you'll just get that and it's nice because it's a credit. You actually get that money back. Or what you can do is provide old phone bills, and you can actually locate those taxes, add them up, and put an entire schedules on your tax return. And if you do that, then you'll be able to get the actual number back. But for most people, you're going to actually probably, I would say, file the tax return with the standard deduction. Businesses also have some availability of that, but that's a different story. So if you are an individual, you can get those forms, or you could just file the standard deduction and get your $30 or $60 back. It's just kind of a nice little credit that's available. Now, you should know about the health savings accounts that are available out there. These are the high deductible healthcare plans that where you have a one part is an insurance plan with a very high deductible, and the other part is a savings account where you use that for approved and appropriate healthcare costs that are under the benchmark of the deductible. And then if you don't use them, what happens is that you then can carry it forward and eventually use that as a savings account. Well, for 2006, the maximum deduction for a health savings account has been increased to $2,700 for an individual, and about $5,450 for family coverage. And if you're 55 or older, the increased amount for a deduction is now up to $700. Now, again, it is a high deductible health care plan. And if you don't know anything about these are really something that you should look into. So contact your health insurance agent to find out a little bit more about that. The next thing is the residential energy credit. Here in 2006, we're finally getting some benefit if you are energy conscious. And there are two different forms of this credit. The first is what's called the non-business energy property credit. And the second is the residential energy efficiency property credit. Long names, but here's what they do. In the non-business energy property credit, you can possibly take 10% of the amount that you paid or somehow incurred a cost for qualifying energy efficiency improvements that were installed in your home during 2006. And any residential energy property costs paid or incurred in 2006 are also eligible. Now, there are some limitations on this. The total credit is only can total only about $500 for all tax years after 2005. And a combined credit limit of $200 for windows in all tax years after 2005. And there's a few other fine prints that you need to be aware of. Now, the other one, which is called the Qualified Energy Efficiency Improvements Credit, is really about components that are installed on or in your main home, which is located within the United States. And if these components are new and can be expected to remain in force and usable for the next 5 years, they are eligible. And that includes like insulation materials, maybe exterior windows, exterior doors, or maybe even metal roofs installed in a home, but only if the roof has what they call appropriate pigmented coatings. And long story short, there are some benefits here if you are doing what you can to maintain the efficiency of energy in your house and trying to stave off this global warming that we're all so concerned about. Finally, there is the continuation of tuition and fees deduction for 2006 tax year. And you may be able to deduct qualified tuition and fees that you did pay for yourself or for your spouse or maybe even a dependent. We thought it was going to be expiring in 2005, but actually it's been extended to 2007. So you can claim that deduction if you paid qualifying tuition and fees in 2000 for yourself, again, or a dependent, and you are in any filing status other than married filing separately. And one more thing, you have to have an adjusted gross income, which is no more than $80,000 if you're single and $160,000 if you're married and filing jointly. Now, again, there are a lot more things. We're going to give you some links on the website, which is thedisciplinedinvestor.com/blog, thedisciplinedinvestor.com/blog. You'll find some links there to all the things you need to be aware of for the tax season of 2006 and how to really make sure that you are getting the most tax benefit that you can. Stick around. We're going to be back and talk about another section of this important area of finance on the DisciplinedInvestor.com podcast. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Are you a disciplined investor? Now you can be. Click on over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com and download your copy of the book that's going to change the way you think about investing. That's thedisciplinedinvestor.com.
Hey, gang. Andrew Horowitz here. And do you have a question that you would like us to answer on an upcoming episode? Well, all you have to do is submit that question at the blog site, which is www.thedisciplinedinvestor.com/blog.
submit your question in what we call the mailbag, and we'll be sure to answer it very, very soon.
And welcome back to the Disciplined Investor Podcast. This is Andrew Horowitz, and we're going to be talking now about the CNBC stock picking contest that's going on right now. You've undoubtedly seen it all over TV. You've seen it all over the news. If you go to their website, it's just plastered everywhere. And I thought it was kind of an interesting idea because what they were doing was getting together people who thought they could maybe, you know, get involved in stock picking and see how they did against each other. By my estimates, there's about close to 500,000 people that are actually registered for this event. And what you can do is each day you can pick a stock or two or five or 10, and you can buy in. And what happens is that you have a little portfolio that is a quote unquote fake portfolio. And what you have is the opportunity to buy and sell. Now, here's the problem. The problem is that as I see it, if we were to run a stock competition, a stock picking kind of contest, you would think that you'd be able to buy and sell on a regular basis throughout the day. But this particular portfolio that you are allowed to establish only is recalculated and priced, as well as all of the orders processed once per day. What does that mean? Well, you know what that means? That means that if you pick a stock that is doing well throughout the day, you're going to get the ending price. And the next day, you're not going to be able to get out of it at any time before the end of the day. It's kind of like a mutual fund. You know, where mutual funds, when you buy or sell, it's only at 4 o'clock. Therefore, if the stock is rallying throughout the day, you can't sell and capture that gain until the end of the day. So if at the end of the day it moves down, you're out of luck. On the other hand, look at this. If in fact you are seeing the stock market start to wither, and in this kind of market that we're seeing right now, that's been happening quite a bit towards the end of the day. And when you want to get out because you see your stock or your positions that you have really sliding pretty hard, you can't get out. There's no way to trade intraday. That's a big problem. In addition to that, each of the stocks that you trade have to be at least $500 million of total market value. Now, I would say that that's a smart thing because when you think about it, you don't want anybody manipulating the stocks, because at the end of the rainbow here, at the end of the contest in 10 weeks, there is about $1 million up for grabs overall. $10,000 a week and $1 million to the final winner. So the other thing that I think is kind of a little odd in this whole thing is that if you refer friends, you get points, you get more money inside of your portfolio. Now, I don't know about you and me, but you know, the fact of the matter is that most people don't get actual points or money in their portfolio for referring other people. So I think there's a little bit of unfairness involved in this competition. You know, when it comes to the real business of making money in stocks, I'm not sure who this is aimed at. I'm not quite comfortable with the way that they put this together. I think there's some inherent problems. Now, obviously, in the end, what this is simply a way for them to advertise, because they create a buzz around what they're doing. They create some excitement around what's going on about their station, their new website, etc. And realize that that's what's going on. They captured 500,000 email addresses, names, etc. Now they can use that for marketing. So what I did do, though, and I think that will be of interest, is that I posted, and I am going to continue posting, my picks on a daily basis on the website, on the blog website, that would be, at disciplinedinvestor.com/blog. And what you can do is you could see my picks on a daily basis, reference it back, and find out what I did right and what I didn't. Again, what I'm doing here is a little bit different than just buying and holding. It's different than what I would do for my clients. It's different than I would recommend on this show or on my websites or in any newsletter that I'll send out. What I'm doing is I'm going after those high-profile stocks, the stocks that are going to have a real boom or bust overnight because of maybe earnings announcements. Find out who is going to be posting their earnings in the after hours, usually where we see a tremendous amount of volatility, buying a whole heck of a lot of those shares, and then selling them the next day and doing that on and on and on. But I think that if you want to try it, it's open on a weekly basis for anybody that would like to try it. And send me your comments on what you think about that. I'd really appreciate hearing what it is that you think about the competition and the contest, and really maybe some thoughts on how they went about it and whether you think that they're really doing a good job or not. Now, stick around. We're going to talk about something that should be of interest to you. You watch them on the TV all the time. You see these guys that are always in the news. They're giving out their opinions. They're talking about what they think the next greatest stock is going to be. And these days, there is no shortage of experts. But what I want to do is I want to go back a little bit, and I'm going to share some things with you that really is going to make your head spin a little bit. Back to 2000, I was there. I witnessed it. I saw it. I want you to really understand what some of these experts have done in the past, and maybe show you how not everything that you hear on the news or in a podcast or read in the newspaper is absolute truth. Stick around. You're going to hear something you're going to want to hear in just about 30 seconds. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jim Cramer. Coming right up, Mad Money. Pull this one out of the closet. It's been left for dead. But I think it could make you some mad money. Plus, it might be the hottest of the hot. But can you own it without getting burned? I got the answer. And I got to ask you, are you diversified? The countdown to Mad Money begins now.
Are you a disciplined investor? Now you can be. Click on over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com and download your copy of the book that's going to change the way you think about investing. That's thedisciplinedinvestor.com.
Hi, welcome back. This is Andrew Horowitz. And I tell you, one of the best ways that I've ever had information given to me is by my friends. How about you? I was hoping you'd do me a favor. Could you send the link to the blog, send a link to the podcast, invite a friend to listen in, and maybe they'll get a few things out of this that they can use? The best way to send the information around is to send it around to people who are important to you, and then they'll hopefully get some information that they can send around to people that are important to them. And that's the best way that I can advertise this program and get it known what we're trying to accomplish here, which is simply to give you all the tools that you need to be successful in the investment and financial markets, to make sure that you are financially successful, financially independent. In this segment, what we're going to talk about is understanding what to look for and really what to stay away from when it comes to the so-called experts out there. Again, there's no shortage of these experts that are on the television, the radio, and the newspaper, and magazines, and podcasts.
You, me, let's try to make some money, Mad Money. Mad Money, you can't afford to miss it. Hey.
One of the dynamic changes that has happened over the last few years in the area of news reporting is that the news reporters themselves have become the experts. It used to be that the news reporters, the anchors, and the field correspondents really were there to report the news. But something interesting happened over the last 5 years or so. What happened was those same people who were reporting the news have now become the news itself. They're the ones that people are looking towards for the information that is going to help them out in the financial markets. One of the things that happened a few years back that really kind of made me wake up and understand, hey, wait a minute, you know, we really should be a little bit more careful listening to certain people, making sure that we get the information that is out there, but then again, try to filter it a little bit, try to put it into perspective, because I don't want to just blindly follow any one person, any one group, or any one channel. And what I thought I would do is, back in the year 2000, when everything was hot, you couldn't really miss, in the beginning of 2000, the end of 1999, there was a lot of people out there making a lot of very bold statements. They were going around lecturing and really making a whole hoo-ha about the internet age and the new way of investing in this incredible market. And one of those players is really very popular today. His name is Jim Cramer from TheStreet.com and on CNBC's Mad Money. And I want to share with you some interesting things. You know, back in 2000, he was making some predictions as well, just like he does every day. Now, again, this is not a slam on Jim Cramer. This is not, but this is a wake-up call to really step back and say, wait a minute, what am I listening to and how is this going to affect me? Do I just buy in? Because if you look at some of the recommendations by some of these people, you'll find the next day, oftentimes, the stock is moving quite heavily on just that recommendation. But what I want to do is I want to share with you the information that was being espoused in this conference that I went to up in New York at the Jacob Javits Center in March of 2000, right before the correction began. This is some of the things that were being said back then. Take a listen.
I'm giving you my top 10 stocks for who's going to make it in the new world. I'm going to give them to you right here, right now. Here it goes. Write them down, no handouts. 724 Solutions, Ariba, Digital Island, Exodus, Infospace.com, Inktomi, which we call Inktomi because nobody knows how to pronounce it in the business, Mercury Interactive, Sonora Group, VeriSign, and Veritas. There. Okay? We're buying some of all of these this morning as I give this speech. We buy them every day, particularly if they're down, which, no surprise, given what they do, is very rare. And we will keep doing this until this period that we are in is over. And I think this period is very, very far from ending.
You know, at the time, it didn't seem that absurd. It actually seemed like there was some real, something really he got into here that made a lot of sense. But looking back, we realized that it wasn't possible to just throw away much of the knowledge that we had accumulated over the past century in terms of stock picking, whether it's ratios based on earnings, sales multiples, or whatever it may be. Take a listen to this. This is really kind of continuing on the same discussion from that conference when they talk about some of the things that we want to look for and some of the things we want to stay away from.
Most of these companies don't even have earnings per share. So we won't be constrained by that ridiculous methodology for quarters to come. All that matters is, did the company raise its outlook? No whisper numbers don't matter, earnings per share don't matter, just whether these companies are beating their own internal projections. We try to own, at Cramer Berkowitz, every one of these, every single one. And if I had my druthers, I wouldn't own any other stocks in the year 2000. Because these are the only ones worth owning right now in this extremely difficult, extremely narrow stock market. They are the only ones that are going higher consistently, both in good days and bad. Stock market went down 250 points on Friday. Every one of those stocks went up. They are not part of the stock market as we know it. I love every one of them, just as I loathe the rest of the stock universe.
Again, at the time, it really didn't seem that far-fetched to really buy into this kind of theory. But you know what? There's a lot of things that are kind of the same today that we're listening to. We're seeing a lot of people with very strong opinions come out with comments about a stock or a sector. You know, last week on Tuesday, there was that dramatic just fall, the free fall of the markets. And what's really fascinating is if you really think about just before the free fall, there wasn't too many experts out there espousing the fact that they really see a concerning time in the markets moving ahead into the future. No, it only happened afterwards that they said, yeah, we knew this was coming. We saw this coming. I mean, come on. They didn't see this coming. I mean, give me a break here. The fact is it makes good news, and that's what's being reported on the day after. It's being reported that, yes, a lot of people thought there was a lot of pent-up demand on the downside, that the people were getting very disappointed. But in fact, nobody was talking about it. It only seems to be discussed when it's appropriate and when it's newsworthy. So what I want to let you know is this, that when you're listening to information on the television or radio, when you're listening to a podcast, when you're listening to anything that is maybe talked about on the shuffleboards court, or maybe even you read in the newspaper or in a book, please be careful. Utilize some smarts. Think about where the information is coming from. Think about if it's applicable to you. Don't blindly follow. Realize that long term is the game here. There is no quick fix to making it rich on the markets. While you can make a really good score on any particular stock, and even on the game that I'm playing right now with the CNBC, the competition, what I'm doing is going to a very aggressive way, but that's play money. That's $1 million of play money. Never would I do this in real money in this magnitude, because what's going to happen is you may win a few, get overconfident, and then what's going to happen is you're going to lose a few more. So realize that there is no quick answer when it comes to the markets, and you're going to be fine with that. Buying and holding over a long period quality companies that are based on solid fundamentals, good use of technicals and technical analysis, as well as some good core risk management processes are really what's going to play out long term. At any given time, there's going to be growth that's over value. There's going to be junk bonds over regular bonds. There's going to be a time when there's some benefit to using some short and puts over calls and long positions. But again, long term, over the course of time moving forward, the tried and true way of investing, of quality, organized buying, and specific stops and limits are really what's going to make sure that you are in the driver's seat with your finances.
So if you can't own the retailers, and you can't own the airlines, and you can't own the rails, and you can't own the banks, and you can't own the brokers, and you can't own the financials, and you can't own the commodity makers, you can't own the newspapers, you can't own the machinery stocks, what can you own? That leaves us with only one thing, tech.
That's all we have for today. This is Andrew Horowitz, thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Until the next time that we get together, I hope that you have a successful financial day, week, minute, hour, and that your taxes are taken care of, your investments are taken care of. Stop by the site, subscribe to the site. We have a lot going on and a lot to make sure that you are successful and financially comfortable for the rest of your life. Have a great day.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.